true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles with me, please, to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I was ready to beat them drums some more. Exodus chapter 33. When you get there, say amen. Amen. We get up early in the morning, come to church. We might as well enjoy it. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 33. Are you there yet? Amen. Exodus chapter 33. I want to look at verse number 15. That's where I want to start today. I want to start with verse number 15. The Bible says in verse 15, and Moses said to God, I know in your Bible it says he said to him, but it's Moses talking to God. He said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up there. In other words, please don't send us up there without your presence. He says, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in your sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The NIV says, how would anyone know you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? How are you going to distinguish us from them? How are they going to know the difference between us and them if you do not go with us? That's what he's telling God. And then the Bible says in verse 17, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. Somebody say grace in my sight. And I know thee by name. Amen. If you read the earlier parts of Exodus chapter 33, you will find out that God is disappointed, a little upset with the children of Israel. And the reason why he is upset with them is because while their leader, Moses, was away from them spending time with God, they became complacent, okay? They lost patience, and they decided to build a molten calf to worship instead of God. Are y'all still with me? And God was upset with him. And because of his anger towards them, he told Moses, he said, yes, the land that I promised them through Abraham, the land of Canaan, the land that's flowing with milk and honey. He said, yeah, that land still belongs to them. I still give them that land. But he says, but I'm not going up with them. He said, because if I go up with them, I will consume them or destroy them along the way. In other words, God said, I'm going to consume them. I'm going to destroy them. And the reason why he said it is because they were stiff-necked people. Another word for stiff-necked, I know some of y'all have a stiff neck. That's not what he's talking about. He said they were stubborn people. They don't listen. They don't follow my commandments. And because of that reason, I'm not going. I am going to consume them. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So Moses interceded for the people. How many of you know there's power in intercessory prayer? There's power in intercessory prayer. Let me say that again. There is power in intercessory prayer. Are y'all still with me? Because God had already made his mind up. Hey, I'm done with them. I'm consuming. That's it. I'm not going to take it anymore. Is it? But Moses interceded for the people. And listen, and then Moses tells us in verse number 12, and I'm just going to paraphrase it. Moses said, God, now you told me to bring them out of Egypt. Egypt is a form of bondage. Are y'all still with me this morning? He said, you told me to bring them out of Egypt, God. He said, and you said, you know me by name. You know my name. Y'all still with me? And you said that I have found grace in your sight. He said, so God, he said that if that's the case, In other words, he said, if you are pleased with me and I have found grace in your sight, how many know that word grace means favor, okay? If I have found favor in your sight, then he said, teach me your ways so I can continue to find favor in your sight. And then God, Moses said to God, now, these people who you want to destroy, God, they're your people. They're your people, God. Are y'all still with me? He said, these are your people, God, that you want to destroy. Your people. And the Bible tells us that God told in verse number 14, look what God said in verse 14. He says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you what? Rest. How many of you know sometimes when you're going through situations, when you disobey God in areas, and then you start going through, you can't sleep at night, things are not going your way, amen, and you need rest. It reminds me when Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. So God told Moses here, because, you know, apparently Moses was probably concerned about the people because God was going to wipe them out, you know. And God said, listen, okay, I'm going to go with you all. And then he said, I will give you rest. And look at what else God said to him all the way down in verse 17. We already read this, but I'm going to read it again. He said, and the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness, this is God talking, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Are you all still with me? How many know that word mercy means compassion? God said, I will be gracious, which is courteous, kind to who I want to be kind to, and I will show mercy. So how many of you know that true mercy comes from God? Are y'all still with me? Amen. And see, because Moses found favor in God's sight, because God knew Moses' name, he know your name as well, amen. The Bible tells us that through intercessory prayer, God changed his mind about consuming those people. And because of intercessory prayer, they got a chance to continue to move forward. The power of intercessory prayer. God showed the mercy to the same people who he was getting ready to wipe out. All because they had an intercessor. Are y'all still with me? Who stood in the gap on their behalf. Amen? See, as children of the Most High God, sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we need God's mercy. Sometimes we find ourselves in places where we shouldn't be or doing things we shouldn't do. And in those situations, we need God to show us some mercy. I mean, we know sometimes there are things that we do and say that we are not supposed to be saying those things. We are supposed to be following the word of God. But sometimes we think we are big and bad where we step outside of the word of God and get ourselves in trouble. And when we find ourselves in these situations, how many of you know that we need mercy? Because what the children of Israel did, they put themselves in a position where they needed God's mercy. The mercy that they needed couldn't come from anyone else. It had to come from God. Are you all still with me this morning? Amen. See, God could have consumed them. God could have destroyed them right there in a blink of an eye. But because Moses stood in the gap for them, then God let them live. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. See, like the children of Israel, you know, how many of you know we also need an intercessor? You know? And how many of you know, like the children of Israel, we have an intercessor? And his name is not Moses. His name is Jesus. And he is the King of Kings. And he is the Lord of Lords. Because, see, without an intercessor, there is no mercy. And without there, there without no mercy, there is consumption or destroying. Are y'all still with me this morning? But because, once again, the children of Israel had an intercessor, Moses, God let them pass. How many of you know because of Jesus and the blood that he shed for us on the cross of Calvary and the blood that he took to God on your behalf and my behalf to not cover our sins but to wash our sins away, how many of you know that's an act of mercy? Are y'all still with me this morning? See, just like Moses found favor in the sight of God, how many of you know Jesus Christ also found favor in the sight of God? For you and for me, amen? If it had not been for Moses interceding for the people, where would they be? Tell me, where would they be? If it had not been for Jesus, who still intercedes for us, sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, where would we be? Tell me, where would we be? We would be consumed. But once again, because of the power of the blood of Jesus that washes our sins away, God gives us chance after chance after chance. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. See, Jesus found favor with Moses, with God, just like Moses did, not just when he was here on the earth, but he also found favor with God when he was in heaven. Because the Bible tells us in 1 John, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Spirit, and the Word, and those three are what? One. Amen. And we know the Bible also tells us in the book of John that in the beginning was the Word, then the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Bible tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How many of you know Jesus is the Word? Amen. He's not the written Word. He's not the spoken Word, but he is the Word made flesh. Amen. So Jesus had favor with God before he descended. Jesus had favor with God after he descended. And Jesus had favor with God when he ascended. Because once again, right now, he's seated on the right-hand side of the Father. And he also have a name that's above all names. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. So Jesus always had favor with God. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Because just like Moses, okay, had favor in the sight of God, just like Moses was pleasing to God, Jesus is also pleasing to God. Amen? Go with me to Matthew chapter 3. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. So in Matthew chapter 3, you know, we find that John the Baptist had been telling them, that someone's coming mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not even worthy to tie. Are y'all still with me? He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then the Bible tells us in verse number 13, it says, then cometh who? Amen. I'll give y'all time to go there, okay, amen, because I want some feedback. Listen. In this church, it's two-way communication. Amen. Hallelujah. I got to make sure that you're awake, so when you respond back to me, unless you're talking in your sleep, I know you're awake. Y'all still with me? Amen. Verse 13 said, then cometh who?
Jesus.
From Galilee to the Jordan and to John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you. And you come it to me? And Jesus answered him in verse 15 and said, allow it to be so. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. And then verse 16 says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Notice what the Bible did not say. Notice the Bible did not say he saw a dove, a white dove descending down. Notice the Bible say he didn't see a bird coming down. See, that dove that you got on your wall, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's just a picture of a bird. Y'all still with me this morning? He said he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am what? Well pleased. Y'all still with me? So it just says Moses found favor in the sight of God. Jesus found favor also in the sight of God. And God says that this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen? And how many of you know this son that God is well pleased in is the one who came down to redeem us? Amen. He the one that came down so we can receive salvation. If you're looking for a title for this morning's message, it's called Mercy and Redemption. Mercy and Redemption. Amen. Because Jesus Christ came down here for you and for me. God sent him down here to represent us, okay? To be the intercessor between him and us. In other words, by God sending Jesus down to us, to me, that is an act of mercy. Why? Because God did not have to do it. Y'all still with me? See, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God could have said, that's it. I'm done with mankind. I'm not going to create anyone else, you know. When the people lived in sin and God told Moses to build the ark, God could have said, listen, Moses, I don't want you to build anything. I'm wiping everybody out, and I'm wiping you all with them right along. Amen. But how many of you know we serve a mercy for God? Amen. We serve a mercy for God, and God saw that we needed his mercy, which is why he sent Jesus. Are y'all still with me? And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the same one who's seated on the right-hand side of the Father, the same one who gave his life so that we could have life. Amen? The same one who defeated Satan on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago. The same one who was led to the wilderness to be tempted of the Holy Spirit. And when Satan tried to attack him, he used the word of God against Satan. The same Jesus is right now seated on the right-hand side of the Father, making intercession for you and making intercessions for me. Are y'all still with me this morning? Just like Moses interceded for the children of Israel, that God would not consume them, Jesus Christ right now is sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, interceding for you and for me. Are y'all still with me? I mean, what a mighty God we serve. We serve a God who is full of mercy. And how many of you know that God's mercy never runs out? There's a verse in the Bible that we're going to read later on that the Bible says that his mercy endureth forever. How many of you know that forever means forever? In other words, there is nothing that we can do to stop God's mercy from enduring forever. Why? Because he's a merciful God. Amen? I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. God's mercy endureth forever because to me, I don't know about to you, but to me, by God sending Jesus down here for us, to die for us, is an act of mercy. Amen? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Are y'all still with me this morning? See, y'all got me fired up this morning. Amen. When Christians come together on one accord and start praising the Lord, amen, that just fires me. I don't know what to do to you all, but it fires me up. Amen. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Because he deserves our worship. He deserves our praise. Romans chapter 8. Amen, amen, amen. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 31. The Bible says, what shall we then say to these things in the verses above you? He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Do you have a question mark in your Bible? If God be for us, who can be against us? And then the Bible explains to us how God is for us. It says in verse 32, he despaired not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. How many know Resurrection Sunday is coming soon? Good God Almighty. Who is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also do what? Make it what? Intercession for who? Us. Right there where you see that word us, put your name right there. See, sometimes when you read the Bible, you have to make it personal. When the Bible says they and us, if you put your name there, then you will see that it's talking directly to you. See, a lot of times when we read the word of God and we see us, we'll be like, yeah, whatever, that's all about. But when you make it personal, as if the word is talking directly to you. See, every time I study the word, or if I hear you teach the word, I don't care. Listen, I don't care who's teaching the word. It doesn't matter. They don't have to have a title. They don't have to be so-and-so, so to the fifth degree. It does not matter. If they are teaching the word of God, I listen to the word as if that word is talking directly to me. Are you all still with me? Because if you really think about it, it is talking directly to me, and it's also talking directly to you. Are you all still with me? But the Bible says he is making intercession for us right now. Right now. And how many know that Jesus Christ never takes any days off from making intercession for us? Why? Because he knows that when we in this world, this corrupt world, although we are not of this world, we're in the world, he knows that we are going to do some things in this world that will require God's mercy. To require God's compassion and his forgiveness of us. He knows that. Because how many of you know none of us are perfect? We all make mistakes sometimes. And sometimes it's not even a mistake. We just think sometimes that our ways are better than God's ways and our thoughts are better than God's thoughts. But I don't know about you, but I'm glad, number one, that I have an intercessor. And number two, that I serve a God who is a God of mercy. Are you all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. So Jesus is interceding for you and for me right now. In other words, I mentioned it earlier, God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us and to represent us on our behalf. Are y'all still with me? He loves us so much. For the Bible says, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. 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 He loves us so much, he sent Jesus. And once again, sending Jesus to us is an act of mercy. Once again, see, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, when they let Satan deceive them, they died a spiritual death. They were spiritually separated or disconnected, I like to say, from God. And because of Adam and Eve's sin, and they represented all mankind, although you were not born, although I was not born, they represented us also. Mankind became spiritually separated from God. So see, in the Old Testament, they couldn't pray to God. God talked to people through the prophets and the priest. And he talked to the king, but how many of you know most of the kings were wicked? Israel didn't have any good kings. They all were wicked. Jerusalem, Judah, they had a couple. Are y'all still with me? So mankind could not even go to God in prayer. That's how they came up with this thing where they go talk to the priest. And some people still go talk to the priest today because they don't think they have access to God. But we have access through the intercessor. Y'all still with me this morning? So mankind was in need of a savior because we were spiritually separated from God. In other words, we received the sin nature or the Satan nature, I like to say. In other words, I like to say it this way, we were naughty by nature. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. So y'all can relate to that. Amen, amen, amen. But somebody say, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. And Jesus Christ came to fix what Adam and Eve messed up. In other words, I like to say it this way. Look at it this way, like when your cell phone get turned off because you didn't pay your bill. You can call all you want to, but guess what? There's not going to be anyone on the other end. And the reason why there's not going to be anyone on the other end is because you've been disconnected. You might hear a voice that say, this call cannot go through. Y'all still with me this morning? And how many of you know back then in those days, the call could not go through? But what Jesus did, because of God's grace, good God Almighty, and his mercy, God sent Jesus, and when Jesus came, he came to pay your cell phone bill. Good God Almighty. In other words, he came to be the operator between you and God. He paid your bill by his blood. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary. And then when he ascended on high, you know, around the time when he led captivity captive and gave gifts into men, he took his blood to God to pay for your sins and for mine. The ones that we committed in the past, the one that we're probably committing right now, and the ones that we can commit in the future. Why? Because no one is perfect. This love. That's an act of mercy. And when Jesus Christ did what God sent him to do, now we can pray to God in the name of Jesus, because the Bible tells us that he is making intercession for us on the right-hand side of the Father. What a mighty God we serve. How many know the right side whenever you walk on the right side, it's a side of authority. Did you know that? Now, I'm not saying he has more authority than the Father, but listen to this. For those of you who've been in the military, and you still, some of you may be in the military, whenever you walk beside a high-ranking officer, what side do you walk on? The left side. Because it's showing that the right side is a side of authority. Now, I know some of you probably say the right side. Maybe you've never been in the military before, but you walk on the left side. So y'all just got educated on military customs and courtesies. Amen? But Jesus is seated on the right side making intercessions for you and making intercessions for me because he gave his life for us. How many of you know by Jesus giving his life for us, that was an act of mercy? Because he did not have to do it, but he did. See, just like the children of Israel, don't you know that when we go against God's word, God can consume us with the blink of an eye. But because of the intercessor, see, that's why we have to understand Jesus is not just somebody that died on the cross, on Calvary. No. He gave his life for you and for me. And that's not all he did. Listen to this. He also went to hell to suffer for 3 days and 3 nights so you and I don't have to go there. All we have to do is accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we get credit for everything that Jesus did. Y'all still with me this morning? Now, you can go if you want to. But you don't have to. Why? Because the blood of Jesus washes our sins away. Amen? I'm talking about an act of mercy. I'm talking about an act of redemption, because Jesus redeemed us from the sin nature. And now, as Christians, we have the God nature. All because of grace and mercy. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. Jesus died for you and for me. Go to Romans chapter 5. Amen. See, if you see it in the word, you can understand what I'm talking about. Adam and Eve messed up. Jesus came to fix what they messed up. Amen. 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 Tell them I said amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If God talked to the rocks, I can talk to the recording. Amen, amen, amen. Romans 5, are you there yet? I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the redeemed one, or the one who came to redeem us. He died for us. Romans chapter 5. And it's always because of an act of God's mercy. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you see that? Put your name there where it says ungodly. Now, you know, you're not ungodly now, but you were before Christ died for you. He said, verse 7 said, for scarcely for a righteous man will, let me bend my pages back, amen. For a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Verse 8 says, but God, somebody say, but God. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ did what? So Christians, listen. The Bible says while we were yet what? Christ did what? So what that tells me then is that if Christ died for me and I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, then when I was a sinner, he died for us. He died for me. So if Christ died for me and I accepted him as Lord and Savior, then why do Christians still go around saying statements like this? Well, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. Well, make up your mind. Are you a sinner or are you saved by grace? Which one? You can't be both. Because Jesus said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, then that doesn't classify me as being a sinner. That classifies me as being saved by grace. Now listen to this. Yeah, we mess up from time to time. Yes, you sin from time to time. And a lot of people think one sin is bigger than another. I'm going to show you a scripture today and let you know, no, it's not. See, if Christians would understand that a sin is a sin is a sin, then that will cut down on us judging people. Are y'all still with me? See, the reason why Christians judge people is because we do not realize that a sin is a sin is a sin. We like to categorize. The top 10. It's number 1. It's number 5. No. God hates sin, period. I'm going to show you a scripture that's going to prove it today. If we realize that a sin is, we stop judging so much. Jesus, how can you talk about your brother when you got a big plank in your eye? Meanwhile, back to the lesson. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Where was I at? 5:8, amen. The Bible says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Say, much more than being now what? Justified. Just as I had never been a sinner. Justified. You like it, huh? Just as if though I've never been one. We are justified by his what? Blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. I like to put it in my in my Bible in parentheses, through unforgiveness. The Bible says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Are y'all still with me? It says, wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But the Bible tells us that Jesus came to fix that, for you and for me. And as I said before, that is an act of mercy. There's an act of mercy by God to send Jesus, and it was an act of mercy by Jesus to die on the cross for you and for me, and to go to hell to suffer for your sins and mine, so that we could be able to see him when we get the glory. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. See, that word reconciled to God, it means restored relations or restored relationship. You know, think of, on a smaller scale, think of, you know, you and one of your best friends, and you do something against that friend that you know you shouldn't have done to hurt that friend. Amen. And then y'all just stop talking to each other. That friend don't want to have nothing to do with you. And y'all just don't communicate. When you try to talk to your friend, they're going to tell you, you know, like y'all used to say back in the days, talk to the hand. And then one day, you see the friend and y'all decide to talk it out, which should have happened in the first place. And now, you all have restored relations with one another. In other words, you've been reconciled to one another again. Reconciled. The word re means to do over. Y'all still with me this morning? But through the blood of Jesus, we've been reconciled to God. When our phones or communication to God was turned off because of Adam and Eve's sin. Are y'all still with me this morning? See, one thing that we need to understand is this. God extended through mercy, redemption. If God did not have mercy on us, we would have never been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? See, God extended grace to us, or favor to us, because of Jesus. That's how we got saved, by grace through faith, because of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Y'all still with me? He extended grace to us, or favor to us, because of mercy. See, what I'm trying to get us to see is how merciful God is. He extended grace to us because of mercy. Most of the time when you talk about mercy, you always talk about grace as well. Because of favor that God had in Jesus, and Jesus died for us, he extended his favor to us because of mercy. Now, I've never heard that before until the Holy Spirit spoke that to me yesterday. He extended, because without God's grace and without God's mercy, we would not have received salvation. Are y'all still with me? In other words, redemption is an extension of mercy. Think about that. Because of mercy, we've been redeemed. Talk about God's love. That's why the Bible says, and we've seen the song sometimes, no greater love, no greater love. Oh, that's why I love it. There is no greater love. There is no greater love than God. That's why God tells us to love like he loves. Because he knows that if we love like he loved, with an agape love, there is no greater love. Are y'all still with me? You know, King David wasn't perfect. But one thing he understood was God's mercy and God's grace. See, there was a time in the Bible, in 2 Samuel and 1 Chronicles, there was a time in the Bible where 1 Chronicles says Satan did it. 2 Samuel said God did it. But how many know Satan can't do anything unless God allows him? And what happened? Satan got David to count the soldiers in Israel, get a count, take a census. What are you taking a census for? God's on his side. And how many of you know God was upset with David? And he told David, listen, through Gad, you know, a guy by the name of Gad, he told David, he said, David, listen, you messed up, buddy. He said, but I'm paraphrasing. You can read it when you get home. Because of my grace and my mercy, I'm going to give you three choices of what you want me to do to you. I mean, God could have wiped him out. He said, I'm going to give you three choices. And you choose. You tell me what you want me to do to you. I mean, isn't that something? I know if God, I'm going to give you three choices. And we say, well, God, I don't think you should do anything. God said, no, that's not one of the choices. I'll give you the scriptures later on for those of you who want to read that. He said, listen, I can cause you to keep running from your enemy all the time. He said, I can send pestilence for three or four, a few days. And there was one other one that he said, I don't remember right off. I'll give you the scripture, you can go read it. Amen. And you know what David said? He said, in so many words, paraphrases, I'm going to give you the scriptures later. You can read them when you get home. In so many words, he said, God, you know what? I'm going to let you choose which one you want to do. Isn't that amazing? Did y'all know that? That's amazing. I mean, David could have picked the easy one. You know, a few days to do this. He said, God, you choose. How many know, based on the three that God chose he gave him, based on what Ron chapter 8, verse 88 says, God picked the easiest punishment. You tell me we don't serve a God who's love. So King David, he understood. I share this story with you to tell you this. You know, that's why I didn't go to the scripture. King David understood grace, and he understood mercy. Are y'all still with me? I want you to go to the 130th Psalm. I do want you to go there, the 130th Psalm. Amen. The 130th Psalm. Hallelujah. Y'all all right this morning? Amen. 17 minutes, man. My time is flying. Amen. The 130th Psalm. The 130th Psalm. See, people who have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're still alive, I see that as God extending mercy. See, because how many of you know when a person die and they have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're not going to be with Jesus. They're going to a place called Hades, better known by many of us as hell. You know, see, the Greek word for hell is Hades. And I mentioned this before, that's a place where departed spirits go who have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? That's where they start off at. They start off in Hades. But then Revelation chapter 20 tells us later on they were going to be thrown in the lake of fire. See, I don't know if you all know this or not, but hell is like a temporary place. It's almost like when you go see the doctor, you're in the waiting room. The waiting room is a temporary place. But eventually, you're going to get in to see the doctor. But how many of you know, for a person who has not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they're not going in to see the doctor. They're going in to see the destroyer, because the destroyer, who is Satan, is going to be thrown right into the lake of fire with them. Y'all still with me? Revelation chapter 20. That's why we can't put off salvation. That's why we can't put off rededicating our life. That's why we cannot put off accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, I'm going to accept him, but I'm going to wait until tomorrow. Well, tomorrow might not come, because the Bible says life is like a vapor. You might be here right now, and before I finish this sentence, you might be gone. I could be gone as well. Y'all still with me this morning? That's why today is the day of salvation. We can't continue to put it off until the next day, because the next day will not come. Y'all still with me? And once a person die, that's the end. You think I'm joking? Ask the man in Luke chapter 16, where the story talks about the rich man and Lazarus. Man said the rich man went to hell. And he said, can you send somebody back to tell my brothers so that they would not come back, come down to this place of torment? And the man said, listen, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, if they don't listen to the pastors, the preachers, the elders, the teachers, if they don't listen to nobody else, what make you think they're going to listen to somebody to come back from the dead? Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So today is the day of salvation. If you're streaming online, you can't wait till tomorrow. You can't just stream and think that's okay, that's it. No, no, no. The Bible says that we must be born again. See, somebody need to hear this. I don't know what part of the world they're in. It might be streaming, might be somebody in here. But the Bible says we must be born again. And listen to the stream, or just coming to the church is not being born again. The only way we can be born again is by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Why? Because he already paid the price on Calvary. He died for you and he died for me. And the only way we can get to see him at the end of time is by accepting him as Lord and Savior. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen. I know I went to, I ain't going to say the left, I went to the right, amen, because that's not a part of what I'm teaching today. But someone needs to hear that, because if not, the Holy Spirit will not have me talking about it. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. So the 130th Psalm. King David says here in verse number 1, amen. He says, out of the depths I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? He said, but there is forgiveness. Do you all see that? But there is forgiveness with me, that thou mayest be feared. He says, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waited for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. You know, that's some serious watching right there. Some people say, I'll be glad when tomorrow comes. Listen, and they watching for the morning, for the next day. King David said, no. He said, my soul waited for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. He says, I say more than they that watch for the morning. He said it two times. King David is certainly trying to get his point across to us on that statement. And then he says, let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is what? Mercy. And with him is plenty as what? Redemption. And he shall redeem Israel. Put your name there where it says Israel. He shall receive Israel from all his or their iniquity. Why? Because of the redeemed one, Jesus Christ, the one who came down so we could be redeemed. Are y'all still with me? Because redemption is an extension of God's mercy. If it was not for God's mercy, there would not be any redemption. But the Bible says, for God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Are y'all still with me this morning? Jesus is the intercessor, and how many of you know, as I've already said, he continues to intercede for us on a daily basis. He never takes time off. He continues to intercede for us on a daily basis. That's love. That's love. I remember years I used to go, when I was growing up, you know, and I started going to church, I was about 13, 14. I didn't know much. I need to go to church. Amen. And I remember it wasn't a choir. There was a recording artist at the church, but they used to sing a song called, "He Didn't Have to Do It, But He Did." Don't you know God did not have to save us? But He did. Don't you know He did not have to send Jesus? But He did. Don't you know that He did not have to send the Holy Spirit back to lead us and guide us into all truth as we're living right now? But He did. See, we can't take God for granted. That's why we have to give Him our best. Because He always gives us His best. All the time. We can't give Him our sometimes, because He's not a sometime God. See, if we could see Him with the eyes, then we would give Him more respect than many of us do when we can't see Him. See? Because people always go out what they see. I mean, you know, I want to relate it again to the military, but when the four-star general walk in, everybody, Mr. What you need, sir? What you need? Y'all know you've been in the army. Man, we got to click a so-and-so come tomorrow. So, let him come. Yes, ma'am. God is higher. He's higher. He is the omnipotent one. He is the omniscient one. He is El Shaddai. That's what we need to be giving reverence to. Not the man or the woman with stars on their uniform or a clover leaf or whatever. Whatever it is, you know, I've been at the army so long, I forgot what the lieutenant colonels wear. What is it? There's a leaf. What is it? It don't matter. It's not important. Oak leaf, whatever. Hey, leaf off the apple tree, whatever. They're still not mightier than Jesus. We serve a mighty God. It's time for us to start realizing they're Christians. Because as I mentioned, sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we need mercy. We need mercy, the God kind. We need forgiveness. And there is no one who can forgive us but God through Jesus. We ask in the name of Jesus, and Jesus interceding for us. Why? Because God loves us so much. And His mercy endureth for how long? Forever. Jesus continues to intercede for us. I want you to go with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. It's probably my last scripture because I have 7 minutes to go. Amen. And we're going to finish this next week. Ephesians chapter 2. Part 2, that means you all have to come back together. And bring someone with you along the way. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. We're talking about a God who is more than enough. We're talking about mercy and redemption. Redemption is an extension of God's mercy. Amen. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world." You know, when I learned to read the Bible as if it's talking to me, I would always put my name right there where it says world. For God so loved Ron. And I think I told you all this before over time. But, you know, when I rededicated my life to Jesus, because I got saved at a young age, but I didn't learn anything. I was just going to church like a lot of people do that. We just go to church because it's Sunday. Feel like this is a thing to do. And it was more yelling and hollering coming from the pulpit than anything else. You know, people just yelling and hollering to make people feel good. You know, so I felt good. But I didn't learn anything. Are y'all still with me? See, Satan doesn't care how you feel. He just don't want you to learn anything. And that's why the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, and when the Bible's talking about sight, it's talking about the five senses. Are y'all still with me? So I didn't learn anything, you know, because I felt good, but I didn't learn anything. So I ended up in a backslidden state. But when I rededicated my life to Jesus around the 1992 time frame, I mean, I was in a situation where I just felt lost. I just needed something, you know, 91, 92. And I was reminded that, wait a minute, you need to go back to the Lord. You need to rededicate your life. So I rededicated my life back to Jesus. And when I rededicated my life back to Jesus, like I said, I got into his word. And I started studying the word. And I never knew about, I knew Adam, you know, was the first guy, and he died, you know, he was in the garden and he sinned. And I heard about Jesus. But I never, ever put them two together. Ever. And as I'm studying the word, because I always pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me when I get into the word, because I don't know where I'm going. Like some people just driving blind, you don't know where you're going. So you always ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. He took me over to the book of Corinthians, and I saw for the first time that the relationship with Jesus and Adam. And the Bible says that the first man, Adam, he brought death. But the last man, Jesus, he brought life. So I realized then, wait a minute, Jesus came to fix what Adam messed up. Nobody ever told me that. That was just a divine revelation. So Jesus came to fix what Adam messed up. I was like, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. You know, I'm like, wow, this is good. So I continued to stay in the Bible and study. And then this is what really got me right here. I realized, before I even saw the verse in the Bible, I realized that God is not a respecter of persons. Before I even saw it, let me tell you how I realized that. Because I realized that everyone in the Bible messed up in one way or the other. I mean, everybody did. Now, I don't know what everyone did, but I know they all messed up. And the reason why I know they all messed up is because the Bible said Jesus was the only perfect one. So if Jesus was the only perfect one, the Bible said he was tempted at all points as we are, Hebrews chapter 4, yet without sin. So the same temptations we face today, Jesus faced those same temptations, but he did not sin. Are y'all still with me? So I realized he's the only perfect one. Then I said, wait a minute. Now all of a sudden, my mind starts to turning. Because I'm like, wait a minute. If Jesus Christ is the only perfect one, I mean, all these people in the Bible, you know, this person and that person, names that you can't even pronounce. And if all these people in the Bible messed up, and God still loved them, and he still used them, how much more does he love me and will use me for his glory? And when I received that revelation, I said, good God Almighty, I'm here to stay. I will not turn back from God anymore. And how many of y'all know, since that time, I'm moving forward. Am I perfect? No. Do I still make mistakes? Yes. But how many of you know that I thank God for his grace and his mercy, because his grace and his mercy never runs out. It endures forever. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen? I have 2 minutes. I want you to go to Ephesians. I'm going to hit it quickly, and we're going to pick back up in Ephesians next week because I don't have time to explain everything there. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I have time. I have all the time in the world until I die. Amen. But I don't want to keep you here until I die. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Are y'all still with me? Ephesians chapter 2. Amen. Look at the Bible says here. The Bible says here, and I'm going to go through it quickly because I have a minute and 50 seconds. Amen. And we're going to pick this back up next week. The Bible is talking about us. Paul is talking to the Christians at Ephesus here. And he says in verse 1, and you, put your name there where it says you, have God made alive. The word quickening means made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. He says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Talking about the spirit of Satan. It says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, feeling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, naughty by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. This is before you got saved. Y'all still with me? And then the Bible says in verse 4, but God. Do y'all see that? But God. Who is what? In what? Good God Almighty. People think they got rich in money. When you want to be rich, you need to have some money. He is rich in mercy. For his great what? Love. Wherewith he did what? Loved us. Says, even when we were dead in sin, he has quickened us together with Christ. And then the Bible says, by what? Grace, you are what? Saved. And the Bible says in verse 6, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his what? So that tells me he's rich in grace and he's rich in mercy. Y'all still with me this morning? The riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through who? Christ Jesus. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should do what? Boast or brag. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus into good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. I'm going to close right there. And we're going to pick that up next week, and I'm going to explain all that to you. But Christians, I'm here to tell you, we serve a God who is more than enough. God who is rich in grace and in mercy. Go ahead and stand to your feet. A God who sits high and looks low. A God who watches over us, whether we are awake or asleep. Because the Bible said God never sleeps nor slumbers. While you're in this world, you will find yourself, for as long as you're in this world, in situations where you need God's forgiveness, where you need God's grace, where you need God to show you some mercy. That's just the way it is, because we are in this corrupt world. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that Satan, the god of this world, small g, is always trying to blind the minds of those who are lost. And how many know he always try to blind the mind also of those who are not lost? That's why the Bible tells us to use God's weapons to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and take into captivity every what? Thought. Because Satan will get into your head and try to, in my head, and try to cause us to think that, well, it's okay to do that. God doesn't care if you do that. You know, somebody told me this one time. Someone actually told me this one time. They said, well, you know, they were doing something that, you know, that's against the word of God. And they said, well, you know, I really don't think that God is going to hold that one thing against me. They told me that. Well, I mean, you know, once again, I didn't get to the scripture today, but I'll show you next week. Sin is a sin is a sin. And sin still lurks in this world, and he's looking for someone to land on. And sometimes we fall short. And whatever area it is, doesn't matter. But I don't know about you, but I'm so glad we serve a merciful God. A God who extends his mercy through you, to you and to me. And he extends it because of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm excited about that. And I hope you are too. Amen. Somebody give God a hand. Praise because he's